Good morning, everyone. You are listening to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. I'm Georgia.
And I'm Hannah.
And you're listening to Film Picnic. We begin, as always, by acknowledging that Film Picnic is recorded on the ancestral territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh peoples. This land is referred to as unceded territory, as it was not given up freely, and it continues to be home for the Indigenous communities from which it was stolen.
Mm-hmm. It is with immense privilege that we talk into these microphones and share our stories, as stories have been shared for generations before us on this land. We hope that Film Picnic can be a space for shared accountability, knowledge sharing, and reconciliation. This always was and always will be Indigenous land.
Beautiful. Our guest today is an accomplished casting professional with extensive experience in television and film. As a casting associate and casting director at Clark and Page Casting, she's contributed to several acclaimed productions, including HBO's The Last of Us and the anthology series Black Mirror, and Amazon's Upload.
Her impressive portfolio spans popular series such as Schmigadoon, Charmed, The 100, and brand new Cherry Flavor, with over 50 credits in the casting department and 10 as casting director. Megan has established herself as a respected talent in the industry, particularly in Canadian casting.
She also has a background in musical theater from Capilano University, which informs her artistic sensibility in the casting process. Her work has been recognized with an industry award, and she continues to be involved in upcoming productions, further expanding her influential career in entertainment casting. Please welcome Megan Bayless.
Oh my God, that was so nice.
Thank you so much for being
here. I've never heard all of that in one breath, so thank you very much.
Yeah, it's very impressive.
Yeah, it feels weird because I feel like I'm very much still a beginner and have a lot more to do. I even looked the other day at my IMDb and went, holy crap.
Like, yeah, it's a lot.
It goes back a decade and yeah.
We were looking at that IMDB.
So many shows that have had such long runs and also just such success.
Yeah. Recognizable names.
Yeah.
It's exciting for me. Like, I feel like a lot of films early on when we were doing casting in Vancouver were Hallmark and Lifetime, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I feel like Vancouver has exploded and it's really exciting to be with a casting company that gets to do things like Last of Us and Black Mirror. It's really, really cool.
How did you get into casting originally? What was your journey there?
Like, how far back in the origin story do
wherever,
you want to go?
Wherever you want to begin.
Like you said, I came from musical theater, so I was more of a singer when I was younger. I was singing in the car, I think, and my mom was like, she's singing, and she put me into choir. I hated her. She put me into choir, and then from there I got private music lessons, and then I started to audition for shows in my high school, and then like I was saying to Hannah earlier, after high school my mom put me into a program.
That's so lovely.
Yeah, wow. CCPA, Canadian College of Performing Arts in Victoria, and I was there for a year. And I learned, it was like fame. Like, we were tap dancing in the gymnasium and singing, and we had private music lessons. And I was only 17 years old, and I didn't totally take it and go, this is what I want to do. It was just sort of a thing that I did after school. A lot of my other friends went into serving or other things or figuring out what they wanted to do. And I went into musical theater. The program doesn't guarantee a second year.
Okay.
So you basically.
Is it only 2 years long?
It's it might be different now, but at the time it was you get in for the first year and then we see how it goes. And then you can reapply to get into the second year.
That's competitive.
Okay. It is competitive.
Yeah.
And I didn't like that aspect.
That would give me anxiety.
Or it kind of came up on me a bit. Like at the end, I realized that I maybe had not pushed as hard as I should have. Mm. The two main directors of the program were dancers, and I wasn't really a dancer. Mm. So I felt like after the program ended, I wasn't asked back. And I was like, okay, well, who am I?
Yeah.
What do I want to do? Yeah. And my friend, who maybe also wasn't going to be asked back, mentioned the Capilano Musical Theater Program and said, if I don't get asked back, I'll go into this instead, which was a guaranteed 3-year program.
Right.
And I'm from the island, so mm-hmm. Vancouver was very scary, but it was scary to me. Like Nanaimo, you're just like, there's just one road. And
I went to a dance competition in Nanaimo once.
Did you?
Yeah, I did. I went to high school on the island.
Nice.
Yeah.
Whereabouts are you from?
Mill Bay.
Well, Mill Bay.
I'm this is my lore. It doesn't matter.
No, I love it.
It matters, Georgia.
It matters.
No, I just mean stories this is your matter. Interview. Yeah, I'm American, but I went to high school on the island. But we just interviewed someone else yesterday who's from the Cowichan Valley, and I'm always like,
the
island people. We're always finding the there's island people in Vancouver.
But yeah, so Vancouver was super scary.
I was like, wow, there's things happening past 8 p.m. Yeah, this is exactly. crazy. Or the concept of Brekka, like a 24-hour cafe.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm in the big city now.
I loved going to like Blends and getting like a hot chocolate at 9 o'clock. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. I went to... Sorry. Go Blends. I went to Capilano. I got in,
right.
And they liked that I had a year already of experience. Mm. And I feel like I kind of like had the trial run at CCPA where I like thought I felt like I could actually do it. And I had the opportunity to grow rather than just like get cut off at 1 year and go,
right.
Do you want to do it or not? So yeah. I did the full program. It was very eye-opening. There was, I learned a lot. And the competition, that kind of competing, I think at the end of it, I had done at that point 4 years of musical theater. And I was kind of, I had my fill.
Mm. Yeah.
So when I graduated, I didn't necessarily feel like I wanted to pursue it professionally. Mm-hmm. I got some great opportunities at Cap. I got to be the lead in the final musical.
Oh, awesome.
Footloose.
Oh,
I know. It was so fun. It was so fun for our class. My best friend was the male lead, and I got to be the female.
Oh, that's so perfect.
It was just so much
Kenny?
Fun.
Yeah. What's his name? Kenny?
Everyone just
says yeah. Kevin Bacon. I think it's
Ren.
Ren. No, Kenny. I'm so sorry. Kenny was the name of the actor in the Kenny. Remake. I'm so sorry. Sorry,
I have who I love there. From like So You Think You Can Dance.
Yeah,
was it anyway?
Julianne Hough was
mm-hmm.
on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I saw both of those. Anyway, I'm sorry. Okay, Footloose obsession.
But yeah, after I finished Cap, I'm from the island, so I was broke and I needed to go back home. So I just ended up serving at home and doing some sort of side musicals. The community knew that I had done musicals, so it was easy for me to do that extracurricularly yeah. and get that like soul fill mm-hmm. that I wanted while I was making money. Mm-hmm. And then I met my now husband, who was also just dying to get out of Nanaimo. Mm-hmm. And we ended up coming back to Vancouver together. And one of his close friends, who does like a lot of my tattoos, his Whoa. Sister is Maggie Bacharach. She, I don't know if you know the bear.
We know the bear. I actually use the same lenses that they use for my thesis
really?
Film. Yeah.
Cool. But her aunt is Jeannie Bacharach, who cast the bear.
Whoa.
So
okay.
I became really good friends with Maggie. 1 year, she was like, I think I want to be a casting assistant and I want to work for my aunt. And I was like, oh, that's cool. I didn't even know casting was even a possibility or like I kind of was shocked that I didn't think of it because it makes a lot of sense if you want to go into something like that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that Vancouver had anything for me, but we basically, I drove down with her to LA and her aunt was like, bring Megan to Sony and like,
wow.
we can like show her like breakdown services and we can show her what the studio looks like. And
the
I went.
Casting studio?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Typically, you don't, like, Clark and Page is different. We have our own, like, physical office. Most of the time, casting works on the lot.
Mm.
And they're, like, usually in, like, a dark
what
room
does
without
on the
windows.
Lot mean?
It's, like, they're where all the professionals, like, it's where they film.
Okay.
On the soundstage.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, okay, yeah.
Film, yeah.
Film lot.
So they're kind of there. But for us, we have our own space. So I went down there and sat in the chair and I watched Maggie go through submissions and I watched her pull sides and I watched her do the things that I would eventually end up doing. And when I came back to Vancouver, she said, we just finished doing a show with Maureen Webb. Maureen Webb did the location casting. Do you want me to put in a good word for her and see if she would take on an intern? So I was like, absolutely. At the time, I was working at the Old Spaghetti Factory.
Hey.
And shout out.
Hey. Spumoni's pasta. I love it. It was terrible. I mean, I love Spaghetti Factory, but like it was.
Was this? This was one in Gastown.
Okay.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So it's like I can the cruise ship drops people off and it's like madness. Mm-hmm. And everybody's running around with their heads cut off. And I hated it. I love talking to people, but I just...
Service is hard.
Service is so hard on the body, my feet. Anyway, so anything to get out of serving. So I interned with Maureen, and it was hard. It was a complete, like, shift. I think people think about casting and go, you get to watch auditions and, like, you're Simon Cowell, and you get to say yes or no. Mm-hmm. And it's not... It's very much admin. Mm-hmm. Like heavy, heavy administration. And I came from musical theater, so I wasn't like sharp at that. And I was making mistakes and it was really stressful. It's like auditioning is stressful and like all that, but hell, like casting is so intense. Mm-hmm. And I think I saw like Sabrina Carpenter on the Drew Barrymore show and they were like, if you could do anything, like, if you weren't a singer, what would you want to do? And she said, casting director. And I laughed because I was like, there's no way. If anyone looked at it and thought, like, they don't know. They don't know how much of a beast it is to be a casting director. And I got a lot of respect.
Often in a time crunch when you are casting, do you have, because I'm assuming you
all
see,
all projects
like,
differ.
Yeah.
Some, like Charmed, was like every week we had to cast a new episode. But for Last of Us, we had a month.
Yeah.
So there are positives and negatives to that. Sometimes it's nice to be like, have a short runway where there's not, they don't have to hum and haw to, they can't. They have to make a decision. So there's something nice about casting under a crunch. And then there's something really luxurious about getting a month to keep going back to the well and keep like making sure that you cast the right person. So there's positives and negatives to both.
Could you take us through just like what a day in your life looks like as a casting director, or maybe like
I wake up, wow, I'm anxious.
Same. when you get to it, like what are the day-to-day activities, because like
we talk about this a lot. Like I think the one cool thing about our what we do is that it's the same every day, but it's different every day. It's the same process, but it's a different show. It's a different team. It's a different story. It really does depend on if I'm starting a new project. You know, you have the big meeting with everybody. You get on the same page about what they're looking for certain roles. We make sure that the character descriptions are well-crafted and are helpful for the actor.
Yeah. This is with, like, director, producers,
people at the top. When I'm an associate, I read the whole script and determine what scenes, what's the arc, what's, like, I hate to give actors, like, too many scenes. It does happen, but it's nice when you just have, like, one scene where you're with one character and then the next scene is completely different. So we try to do that, and then we send out auditions, and when we get them back, sometimes we have big watch parties where all of us watch. Sometimes I'll watch and we'll see someone and go bullseye. And we'll all come around the computer and we'll all watch the actor and get really excited about it. So yeah, I don't know what your question was, but like, what's a typical day like? Mm-hmm. It differs all the time.
Yeah.
I'm either in session or I'm not.
Yeah.
If I'm in session, sometimes it's for a couple hours. Sometimes it's just for 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on if actors decide to come in or not, or if we need them to come in. But try to get out at 6 p.m. if we're lucky, but it never
work
leaves.
On weekends?
It never... Like, we're leaving the physical space, but we're never out of the casting space.
Yeah.
Like, even when I'm at home watching Netflix or a movie or whatever, I'm always clocking it and going, is this filmed in Vancouver? Is this filmed in Canada? Who's that? Oh, I know that person.
Yeah.
And go, oh, they're doing such a good job. I didn't know they could do this. And writing their name down, going to work the next day, saying to Corinne and Jen, you have to see this person in this movie.
Wow.
It's never ending. You know, I think that's what I didn't realize when I got into it, was that it was going to be all consuming.
Mm-hmm.
There have been times where I've cried at the end of my bed because I'm just like, I can't do this. It's so stressful. They always need something. It's always so demanding of like every part of you. So you hope that you have a good partner that's like able to support you and be there for you, because it's so challenging, but it's so, as someone who came from acting, I really love it because I don't necessarily want to be there anymore, but I know what it feels like to be there.
Yeah.
And how stressful that is and how much you guys care. And so I feel like it's really cool that I get to be on the other side helping you get there. Yeah.
Directing my thesis, I definitely learned a lot about, obviously, the casting process. Yeah. And like, I think what we were just talking about on the couch out there of getting people to just do less and be themselves. Mm-hmm. I think Ethan actually was in my thesis film.
Oh, hey.
But we spent a lot of time beforehand just hanging out and like becoming friends and making the cast friends. And like, yeah, I learned a lot from what it was like being behind the camera and being like, okay, I see certain moments where it's like, oh, I see the acting there. Okay, let's, how do we take them out of that? How do we play around with that?
That's so true. And like I was saying to Hannah, I hate saying, can we do it again, but more grounded. It feels like such a, like, unclear note, and some people get it. Some people go, oh yeah, I know exactly what you mean, and some people don't. I would say, like, if you're an actor and you've been receiving that note, film yourself with somebody that maybe makes you a little nervous and see what you're doing without realizing it. Are you lifting your eyebrows a lot? Are you doing the exact same thing at the exact same point every single time? Maybe you've been over rehearsing yourself. Maybe, you know, so it's all those things where like, I feel like I'm a different casting director than maybe my colleagues.
Yeah.
Rebecca likes to focus on story. What are you feeling? What might you be feeling? And I'm very like, okay, so your mouth is curling up in this part, or let's get rid of this chair or this prop, or why don't we walk in from the corner? I feel like you're just already there in the scene, and that's strange.
Yeah.
So I'm more like framing, and feeling is more Rebecca's sort of guidance in the room.
Nice balance.
It is. Yeah.
I think it's so interesting you talk about first of all, I have so many thoughts. The first thought is, I think it's interesting that you were saying like, oh, it's hard for me to watch movies now, or not that verbatim, but like,
I feel that way.
Studying. Once you see how the sausage gets made, it's like kind of hard to go back and I like, yeah.
Love that analogy.
Sorry. I don't, you know, I couldn't think of anything else, but even, you know, but like
I'm a walking IMDb. Like, I feel like people will be watching something and they'll go, Megan, who's that? And I'm like, no, like I don't know everybody, but typically I have to know who people are, because we'll get a prototype. They'll say, we want like a, I don't know, name an actor.
Zendaya.
We need a Zendaya type for this person. And as a casting director, you can't be like, oh yeah, and have no clue who that is. You kind of have to be tapped in to everything. So like, my hobby is watching films, and anything that is released, good or bad, I'm watching it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good way to like understand tone and go, this is more HBO. This is more,
it's not TV,
Fox.
It's HBO. Sorry. We were just
is that their phrase?
I think that's like their catch. Oh, you guys don't
know. Actually, I do. I am having a moment.
That's their catchphrase. Yeah. Is that, that's how they like differentiate themselves as a network. They're like, it's not TV, it's HBO.
Nice slogan. Logline.
So I have HBO on the brain, because I'm in this melodrama class right now because I'm in cinema studies. Cool. And we were just analyzing Euphoria and watching Euphoria.
Yeah.
And anyways, on the Zendaya note, are there a lot of, do a lot of your colleagues also come from acting experience?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Rebecca comes from...
Rebecca's also from Australia, which I'm like,
she is.
Yay.
Yeah.
Shout out.
Rebecca's the best. She, like, she talks about, like, techniques all the time. And if I'm being honest, I don't. I'm more about just simplifying things. And, like, I think that it's the actor's job, personally, to do the work. Mm-hmm. They're not coming into the casting office to have a masterclass in Stanislavski or whatever. They're coming in to have already done their work, present it to me, and I can do some minor adjustments. But if you've barely done anything on the back end, it doesn't feel useful mm-hmm. of either of our time to... I'm very generous. I think that I'm more one of the more generous in the room. I'll let you do it a few times. I'll even do it again just so I can go, the next time, they'll be better. Yeah. Maybe not for this time, but at least I've like sent you back out going, I'm doing a little bit too much, or I need to stop with the props, or I don't need to run down the hallway six times to be to show that I'm out of breath. There's a lot of things that I try to just give you a little piece before you go. Mm-hmm. And I try to get you as best as you can be. So I have some, we really want to present like a ton of great people. We want to be spoiled for choice. And so I feel like when I'm working with you guys in the room, I try to get you to be the best that you can be so that I can present you to my producers and directors. Or if not that, the next time you come in, you're even sharper.
Yeah
So it's tough.
That feels like a really kind,
in my like one experience of coming into the room, I definitely felt that. Like I really appreciated you giving me the chance to like do it again and like give your thoughts. And I felt like I took a lot away from that audition.
But then there's some people that come in and you're going, you can immediately tell, oh, you don't want to hear anything I have to say. You've already decided how you want to do the scene. And that can be frustrating. And those are things that we kind of go, okay, noted. And then we may not bring you in again. Or we might go, how is this person going to be on set? Are they going to do that to the director of The Last of Us and say no to your feedback? So it's every person, every part of a team. Same thing when, like, if your boyfriend or girlfriend treats a server like shit, if you treat the assistant like shit, if you treat the associate like shit, it gets back to the casting director. So always come in, be professional. If someone's giving you feedback, go, what a blessing that I'm getting to do this again. And not just being like, yep, thanks, next. So I'm sure that does happen. And I feel like there's a maybe stereotype that casting is maybe a bit can be cold. I don't know. But
I mean, but, I think we talk about that a lot on our show, and just being like, the phrase I keep using is being a pleasant person to work with. Like the whole process, whether it's casting or working in any sort of team environment, specifically in creative roles, it is about being a person that's like other people are able to work with
or want to
work with. Definitely. When you're casting shows like The Last of Us or Black Mirror, and your Witcher Union, are you selecting the actors that are going to audition? Like, do you go through headshots and profiles on Actors Access and Workbook and all of that? Or is it more like, we're going to put this out to agents and they're going to show us their best?
The way Breakdown works is when we release the character descriptions for a project, your agent will submit you. Sometimes we'll go, we're not seeing some people that we know can really do this part. So casting will, we call them CDS, like casting director selects, will go and seek the people that we wished were submitted. But we'll go through hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of headshots and photos. And that's what I've built over time, is when I got into casting, I needed to learn all the Vancouver actors. And I think that's what was like really, that was hard at the beginning, because I wanted to be coming from more of a creative like part of it, but the creative part I needed to build and watch people's tapes and go, okay, that's a really great actor. We should see them for this part in the next thing. And so that took me years to know all your names and know what you're able to do and go, okay, this person could do a lead role and this person maybe should stay within the maybe five lines, six lines, and knowing when that's appropriate and not. So
it's, have you watched actors like develop over time in that time of being recently, like maybe they're better for five lines?
Recently someone came in and really blew me away. Someone who we had always sort of had in like an area and came in and was like fully off book. I think it was like 9 pages, fully off book, supernatural, really still. And I was blown away. And I went out into the casting main office and I let Corinne, Jen, and all the girls know, you have to watch this person. Like, that's they're really doing the work. And if it's not this part, like, at least, like, we all know that they're doing the work and keep them in mind. Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. It's really, really cool. Yeah.
How does your approach change when you're casting a project with very specific character descriptions versus something that's maybe a bit more open-ended or open to interpretation?
Like, if it's, like, a smaller part or...
If it's a, I mean, like, yeah, I maybe either a smaller part or just, like, I would
if
assume...
If you're basing it off a book, for example, yeah, that right. has a like, very
if there's,
specific...
If there's a given context and a given kind of, like, role versus something if, that's being
If
written.
It's, like, a specific... Like, if it's based on something, I mean, those are barriers that we have to stay within. We don't... Often it's very open, more so now, where... Yeah, so the person was this certain way in the book or described this way in the book or whatever. That's not necessarily the case here in this new adaption of it.
And has that been a change?
I think casting's responsibility is to go outside the box and go, okay, so this person was male. Why does that have to be the case? So there are a lot of times where casting will change. And just go, I know that you said that this character should be male presenting, but what about Gabrielle Rose? You know what I mean? And change their mind and change their view of what they think that they want. Yeah. I think that is our job, is to push the boundaries.
Does that happen because, like, does that happen when you see a specific actor and you're, like, really blown away by them and then you have to, you're feeling like, oh, I need to advocate for this person because they should be in this role? Or is it maybe more a critique of the role
itself? It's less deep, I think. I think that I feel like we always want to put forward the best people,
right?
No matter what.
Yeah.
So if there's a leading role that could shift to a different gender, why not present our best women? I feel like the women are really killing it. They're fantastic. So why not do that? Why not say, let's change it up?
Have you kind of seen that shift over your time in casting of maybe like diversity and inclusion changing or just access in the casting process?
Well, absolutely. Like, we just finished casting the Vince Staples show and primarily Black cast.
Love.
And that was so cool and so fun. This sort of project helps us get to showcase and highlight people that maybe don't get those big large roles. And so when it's a primarily like Vince Staples show, that was really fun for us to get to do that and and to see more of those actors get those opportunities. I do feel like it's changing.
When I did an MOW recent it was a Lifetime. And Troy Scott was the director and it was an entirely Black cast and it was like maybe not entirely, but majority. And it was just a very different feel. And I really appreciated that space. Mm-hmm. It was so awesome. I was like, oh my gosh.
On an MOW. Like,
Even just like the hairstylist doing some fun stuff with my hair. And that, I felt that difference. Yeah. And that was really a great experience.
The Mary J. Blige.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I do feel it's changing.
Yeah.
It's exciting. Feels good.
It does. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kind of a basic question, but just like, I would love to know, do you have a favorite project that you've worked on or something that you were like so excited to be a part
Can
of?
You say?
Last of Us.
Yeah.
So cool. Last of Us is like, it was huge because I'm a gamer. Like, when I met my husband, we were living in his like studio workspace, and it was like 2013. And he's like, oh, there's this new game that came out. It's called The Last of Us. Apparently it's really good. And so we played it. We'd like eat nachos in bed, play Last of Us. And I was so like, I've never played a game like that where like the cutscenes would just seamlessly go into this like cinematic moment where you're finding yourself being, you know, moved and choked up by the characters of the story. We were obsessed with the game. And then the pandemic happened. I was in casting. The pandemic happened, and Corinne and Jen were like, yeah, there's this HBO show. And I was like, is it The Last of Us? And they're like, oh, yeah. And I went, okay, so we have to do it. So we ended up getting it. And that was insane, like, to have played the game 8 years earlier and get to cast the first season was so full circle. And like, yeah, and to get to read the scripts and see what they were doing, it was very exciting. And yeah.
Do you feel strongly about advocating for Canadian talent? Because just, I mean, within like a larger American behemoth kind of system, like,
I mean, season two, Spencer Lord is playing Owen, and he's from Vancouver, and he was, I think, like a lot of actors see like a role like that and go, what's the point? Like, it's probably not going to go to a Canadian. It's probably going to go to American. Mm. And sadly, you know, that sometimes does happen. But Spencer's probably sick of me saying this, but he's like our unicorn in a way. He represents that, like, don't just write it off not auditioning for the role because you think it's going to go to an American. Audition for it, kick ass, prepare and deliver solid work, and it can completely change your life. So the question, are we advocating for Canadian talent? Absolutely. Like, always. And we're always in your corner. We're always, your agent is your cheerleader, but what you don't see is all the behind the scenes from casting that we're going, we're on all the calls, we're saying, you got to look at this person, we love this person. And then everybody, whether we're working on the show or not, we're huddled behind the computer when you're doing your callback, and we're rooting for you. And we really do care about you guys and want you guys to get the part. So we're all working really hard for you. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Lovely. Yeah.
Yeah.
I Spencer last year at Crazy Eights.
Yeah.
And someone was like, oh, yeah, Spencer's going to be the next season. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. That's so cool. I know. Love that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really inspiring. And talking to him, like, good coaches, the people that coach him, the people that he surrounds himself with, it really does matter who you learn with, who you train with.
Yeah.
Mm. Be choosy. Mm. Look up who your coaches are. What have they done?
Can you tell us or give us any sort of insight into, like, maybe some notes that you've heard coaches give that are just like, I mean, I'm sure it depends on the show, and maybe you're like, I actually don't want to say that.
Yeah.
But, like, is there anything that, I mean, like, you mentioned when I was doing my audition, I was like, what kind of might be, like, an ick is not the right word to use, but, like, in an audition, like, using too many props or obviously, like, being way too big? Or
it doesn't. So I will speak for myself. I'm not speaking for all of the casting directors
just
of the world.
Just in your personal
experience. My personal things. There are some moments where it's, like, if there's eating in the scene and you brought, like, a bag of chips and you're eating throughout the entire scene, no.
Take one bite.
No. Like, put the chip bag down. It shouldn't be the second character in the scene. Sometimes it really works. Like, sometimes there was one person who was eating a burger, and we were watching it and going, oh, God, is the director going to, like, hate us for sending this? Because he was so committed while also eating the burger. And we were like, sorry if the burger is, like, distracting. We just felt like he really was the character. And the director producer was like, it didn't bother me and I love it, and let's hire him.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's a feeling where you go, you can tell when the actor's eating it for for just like to do something for business, and you can tell when it's for when they're actually being the character. So I would never say like don't ever eat, but don't make it your like I'm going to bring an apple to every audition and like be always eating this freaking apple.
Yeah.
we can be a little bit off put by that choice. Like I said earlier, like there was one person who ran up and down the hallway. And then like I had to have the audition door open so that they could run like from the hallway in. And I was like, oh God, I was like, I love that. That's how you need to like get out of breath. But like you've completely disturbed everybody on the floor, and all the actors in the waiting room are now disturbed by the running. Yeah,
it's like you're already hearing someone else's audition.
And I don't know where, I don't know if that's like a coach going like right before your audition, if you're like, if you're in a chase scene, like do 10 push-ups. If you're doing push-ups in the room, sometimes we can be like, you're holding us hostage to your workout. Just do it. And for me, it's like from coming from musical theater, I know that I can be out of breath without doing 10 push-ups.
Yeah.
So to me, it's like, it's just like my eyes roll back in my head a little bit when I see the too much of it all kind of stuff. I mean, like I said to you, doing less, do less. I think in all the new shows that we're casting, the trend has been subtle. Subtle. And when I was in school, like we're auditioning for leading roles. The fact is that we're not always auditioning for leading roles here in Vancouver. Sometimes it's just the guy that comes on and says, here's your bill, and leaves. Yeah. And so when a coach says, how do you stand out? We don't want you to stand out when you're dropping the bill off at a table.
Yeah.
You are leading the story into the next scene. And it needs to be relaxed and grounded and real. And I think those are like what actors, those are the toughest roles for us. A lot of actors get at least a minute and a half to drop into it. So I think when actors are learning, I think learn to do a one-line role and do it convincingly. And yeah, because that was so tough for us.
Didn't you have a one-line role in The Flash?
Did you?
Or am I
had
this up?
Actually four lines, but the final cut. Sorry.
But
it ended up being...
Whoa.
Yeah, that was my first, like, TV role. Yeah. Like, even, like, being on a set that wasn't a commercial.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, this is so bougie because it's The Flash.
Yeah.
But that was really fun. Sorry. Oh, that's okay. You said when we first started talking that Vancouver... is, I can't remember the word that you used, but like booming or something like that. Do you think, I mean, there was the strike, there's so many different, I guess, perspectives of the industry in Vancouver, but from a casting perspective, do you feel like there is a lot going on right now, that there's not much going on right now?
I think that Clark and Page has been really lucky because we have such like ginormous projects on our resume when things do film in BC and Canada, they knock on our door. And so for us, we're feeling the phone is ringing and that's exciting. Yeah.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Exciting for actors too. Yeah.
Exciting for me. Like I would obviously love to like be a casting director and be doing more of my own films with my partner, Rebecca. But the cool thing about working for Clark and Page is that while those indie things do come up and come on our table that we're allowed to do, I'm getting to do things like Black Mirror or Last of Us or Schmigadoon and get to do these really cool shows that people want to watch.
Yeah.
And that's been really cool for me.
Yeah.
Is to get to be on these really epic shows like your friend that walked by and said, you know.
Yeah.
I love
oh my gosh, it makes The Last of Us?
You know, we're in our little box every day. I don't, you know, it made me feel really good.
And you went to the Emmys for that?
Yeah.
Was it for The Last of Us?
They were Corinne and Jen were nominated for an Emmy. I got to go.
Wow.
Yeah. And because casting associates don't get Emmys, which is a shame. But I got a CSA award, a casting award for The Last of Us. Yeah. So there are these new perks that I didn't know Canadian casting whatever get. So we're getting to see that. It's really cool.
Before we take a quick bake, do you
a bake.
A quick bake. Oh my god.
Oh, didn't me.
Break. I shouldn't have. No. It just made me laugh.
As you should, please.
Really quickly, on Schmigadoon.
Mm-hmm.
That is a really star-studded cast.
Yes.
How do you navigate getting Canadian talent in there that's maybe not like top tier talent? Or
George. Let's rephrase that.
I'm so sorry. I just mean I feel like there's you have to find a balance between celebrity, like, you know, these big A-listers in the cast, and then you have people that are maybe not on that kind of A-list level. Like,
not as known.
Perhaps. Not as known, yeah. Not anything to do with ability. but just, you know, like maybe don't have that kind of relationship established yet. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Do you feel a kind of tension, like, oh, because I know there are to some degree politics of you need this many followers or you need, you know, this kind of acclaim behind you in order to like get into some kind of production like that. Do you guys navigate that world?
That's not my experience. Like sometimes I did an indie where I was saying like how many followers people had, just because in some cases you're like, this person's like incredible, like from Vancouver, they've done all these other things, but they're not necessarily name recognizable. Mm. So we do everything we can to, I do everything I can to prop up somebody and be like, here's their enormous resume, here's their enormous following. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Like, go with them.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't say that the followers thing is any sort of thing that we, unless we're like really trying to convince someone, we have to go, and they have so many Instagram followers, it's not really the thing that sells somebody. It's the audition, it's the meeting that they have with the producer director that goes really well. It's our own like personal relationship to them. If there's somebody we've seen since they've like started in the industry and we're like, they're so capable. There are a lot of things that we do to support and put somebody. In terms of Schmigadoon, like, I came from musical theater, so I know
that would have been so exciting.
It was really cool to be like, I know what like this person can sing, and I can tell like they've got the voice to be in the chorus or to do the one little line that they have about corn pudding or whatever the song was.
The aesthetics of that
dancing,
show was so fun.
Yeah. But we were really lucky to get Schmigadoon because it was, I think that was pandemic, and New York was shut down. And I think they were going to film it in New York, but they couldn't. So they filmed it on a soundstage in Vancouver. So Kristen Chenoweth, Alan Cumming, these massive like musical theater talents, we probably wouldn't have gotten that show had it not been for the pandemic.
Wow. Yeah. Pros and cons.
And so it was really cool to like, I have a lot of friends who are still in musical theater and really cool to audition them and see them potentially get to be on set with these like people who, when I was going to school, like we just idolized and so that was really cool. Yeah, it was a really fun project. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Should we take a quick break?
Let's do it.
We'll take a quick break and we'll come right back.
Come right back.
It's Nardwuar to Human Serviette, and you're listening to Unseated Airwaves on CITR 101.9 FM. Do 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 do.
We have been called the Indians.
Justified in opening fire that day. Amy Allen has more.
The virus took on many shapes. The bear, the elk, the antelope.
Hosted by the Indigenous Collective of CITR 101.9 FM, Unseated Airwaves unveils the hidden pages of Indigenous history and contemporary existence. We are back and looking for passionate folks to contribute to the process of putting together our weekly radio show, Our community centers Indigenous joy, excellence, and current issues. Friends and allies are welcome. No experience is necessary. Come learn with us. Our Instagram is Unceded Airwaves, and that's the best way to keep up with us. If you're interested in getting involved or you have any questions, email me, indigenouscollective@citr.ca.
Are you someone in recovery? Someone struggling with addiction or disordered eating? Or are you simply curious to explore your relationship to alcohol, drugs, and other types of addictive behaviors? The UBC Student Recovery Community is a safe space to connect with others. The SRC provides many types of support, such as drop-in hours, recovery meetings, one-on-one support, and even has a dedicated recovery lounge. The SRC supports all pathways of recovery, from harm reduction to abstinence and everything in between. You can learn more at recovery_UBC on Instagram. And you can also contact the community at src.recovery@ubc.ca. Remember, you're not alone.
Are you looking to decolonize your self-care routine? Take a trip down to Sisters Sage for a variety of handmade soaps, bath fizzies, smudge sprays, and salves infused with traditional plant medicines. Sisters Sage is an award-winning local Indigenous business run by Tsimshian entrepreneur, activist, and community builder Lynn Marie Angus and her dog TJ. Passionate about crafting wellness products that are respectful of the land we live on, Sisters Sage is committed to a heart-centered approach to self-care as well as our collective healing. Located on 1312 Kingsway, you can drop by from Monday to Saturday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. See you there.
We are UBC Electronica, and we love electronic music sessions. Run for them life when I step into the jungle. We offer DJ workshops, open decks, pop-up parties, and more. Follow our socials such as Instagram, Discord, or join us through email, ubcelectronica@gmail.com.
Welcome back, listeners. You are listening to CITR 101.9 Vancouver. I'm Hannah.
And I'm Georgia.
And you're listening to
Film Picnic.
We are here with casting associate and casting director at Clark & Page Casting, Megan Bayless. Black Mirror.
Yeah.
Black Mirror. A new season is coming out?
Which is, I feel like they took a break because of the state of everything. The world.
Yeah. Like, it's too close to reality.
Because they were, low-key predicting things. And I was like, this is scary.
I know. Yeah. I bet you they were just like, the world is just not going to get better. We just need to keep pumping out more seasons.
Well, then I'm like, when did the Twilight Zone end? What made them stop the Twilight? Because those are, pretty parallel to one another, right? Same kind of, single...
I would say so.
Single episode narratives, about meta.
Early 2000s did it end?
I don't know.
I never watched the Twilight Zone.
Mm. I didn't either.
But okay. It was very scary. It felt very scary to me.
Yeah. Well, in the same way that Black Mirror feels scary. Because it's talking about...
It's so good.
Commentary on, mm-hmm. on real things. I remember watching the first episode with...
No. Always skip the first episode.
Oh my god. The Prime Minister and the pig. Yeah. And,
that was wild.
Just
But yeah. No, that show has been just like The Last of Us. It was so... As soon as they called, it was very exciting to get to cast an episode for the new season.
Which episode did you guys cast?
Common People. Rashida Jones, Chris O'Dowd.
It's gonna be very good.
Yes,
I love both of those people. Well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. And the cool connection with that was Jeannie Bacharach. She is the U.S. casting director for that episode, and it was another full circle moment getting to. When I was, 23, going down to the Sony lot and getting to meet Jeannie and see what they do, and then how many years later get to do a
full
show
circle.
With her.
Full circle.
So it was really cool.
Does the casting process differ in a series that is so different per episode? I mean, I guess since
it's almost like casting a pilot.
Yeah.
Which we do often.
Yeah.
You pour everything you've got into one episode and then it's done. So it's kind of nice, especially with Black Mirror, where you get to have that on your resume now. But it's not like a 8-episode series. Yeah. You just get to do one and done, kind of like a very short
movie. Do they work with different casting directors per episode?
I believe so, yeah.
Interesting. I guess that's probably an intentional choice to get different.
They have different filming locations in the UK. And
because it's also different directors, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's so interesting. Mm-hmm. I love the blend of talent. And I love the way that it kind of all comes together in a cohesive way. But again, I think that's probably back to the themes of Black Mirror Our world intense. Imagined in a different way.
I know.
Oh my goodness. Does the quality of the actor's setup, like self-tape, if they're doing self-tape, does the quality of that setup affect your, I guess, perception of their tapes? I mean, to a certain degree, maybe you try not to let it. But
if the tape is like grainy as like no.
Yeah.
Like there are some things we can't look past and go like
filmed on a microwave.
I'm never gonna be like, you need to have like this full setup in order to, it really is at the end of the day the acting.
Yeah.
I will say. But there are some things that we do notice where we're like, why is like the cat running around in the back? Or there are things that are distracting, of course. But when we say to self-tape or whatever, we just say it doesn't need to be a full-blown setup, just a blank background, like stand in front of like a wall that doesn't have anything on it and stand with like the window in front of you so that the light is on your face.
Yeah,
that's kind of it. And then, you know, but then there are some actors that choose to go to Studio 3 Media or something like that and have a better, and it does look great. I'm not going to lie. It looks great. But I wouldn't say we hired somebody who filmed, it was an older man. He filmed his audition on his like flip phone in the mall. And he got the part.
That has its own character.
And he got the part.
Talent speaks for itself.
And he got the part. He was committed. Wow. He did it.
Yeah.
So
was the mall part of the like scene or was it just?
No, he was just happened to be at the mall. And he did the scene.
Who says mall culture is dead?
I know.
Who says malls are dead?
But he did it and got it. And it was like not the greatest like image, but it was good enough. And he was committed and he got the part. So you can do what makes you feel good. Do what makes you feel confident in your tape. If it is you seamlessly going in from a title card and out of each clip, go for it. And when we're in the room taping you, we do a start and a stop. There's no fade in, fade out. There's no title card. So if you want to do that to pretty it up, go for it. If you want to add in sound effects, go for it. But at the end of the day, it's the performance and it's us believing you in this character.
Do you have, maybe as a final question, unless you have anything
else,
what would you say, because our listeners are typically emerging filmmakers, emerging creatives, what advice would you give to someone who's either trying to get into casting or maybe like actors who are just starting out in the industry here in Vancouver?
To get into casting? Or for casting?
Advice for the up and coming.
If you wanted to get into casting in Vancouver, it's really hard. It's really hard. I think the reason I was able to get into it was because of who I knew.
Yeah.
It sucks to say it's who you know, but if I didn't have the connection with Maggie to connect me with Maureen, I would never have probably gotten into casting.
Yeah.
So go to events, go to Crazy Eights, go talk to people in the industry, make a good name for yourself.
Yeah.
If you end up meeting somebody who has worked on a show with Candace Alzinga or with Tiffany Mack or with Maureen or with us at Clark and Page, that reputation, build that up, and you have to work really hard. It's not it's not just clicking on people's faces and going, I like you, I don't like you. It's so much more than that. It's navigating personalities, navigating producers and directors' egos. You know, it's so much more than what you think it is. Mm. And I bet that's with every department, that same realization happens. Yeah. But if I knew what I knew now, how hard it was going to be, I don't know if I would have done it.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I'm here and I'm getting to do these like nice shows, of course I look and I go, thank God I stuck with it.
Yeah.
But at the time I was working on some maybe not as exciting projects. busting my ass, and it didn't feel like I was, it didn't feel like I was getting what I thought I was getting out of it until year 8 or 9 or 10. So if you've got the longevity, if you've got the skin to get through it, casting can be very exciting. And yeah, I just hope that for an actor getting into acting, any advice
from the casting?
It sounds like be tough, stick with it.
Maybe stick with it.
Or if you're getting into acting, going back to the coaching, if you always train and make sure that you're surrounding yourself with people that are have done things that you like and respect, look at their resume, see what they've done. And, you know, my biggest thing is your coach should never make you like scream your head off or say the F word or the C word or whatever just for shock value. Get somebody who's on your level, who helps you discover things about the character, small or big, and you can feel like they're rooting for you. I would do like private things, private coaching, rather than in a group. Sometimes I feel like the group, it's
the groups are like so large,
they're too intense.
Like 2 minutes to do your thing, and it's not really. I think that's great advice. And going back to your note of like knowing people and putting yourself out there again, we talk about that so much on our show. It's just saying hello appropriately and in the appropriate way. But going to those events, those mixers, Crazy Eights, festivals like that is just such a great opportunity to lean in with curiosity,
engage with the community,
and ask those questions, and find out like find out what fits and what feels good. At the end of the day, we want to cast this part. We want you, when you enter our room, to be it. We don't want to keep looking and looking. We want to hit the bullseye. And so the biggest thing that actors can take away is that casting is rooting for you. We want you to succeed. We want you to come in and nail it. So just come in confident, and that's all you can do.
Thank you so much.
Of course.
Thank you for chatting.
My pleasure.
Thank you for sharing all your insights.
My pleasure.
Listeners,
thank you
so much for listening. If you're watching, hi, hello.
Thank you for watching our YouTube.